The Bible has many wonderful and beautiful passages. One of my favourites occurs today in the reading from the letter of St. Peter. The letters of St. Peter can truly be called the first papal encyclicals in the Church, and his speeches that we hear in the Acts of the Apostles as the first papal homilies. First, though, let us explore the image of the Church that St. Peter uses in this part of his first epistle. He says that we, who belong to Christ, are living stones that make up a spiritual house. Now, there could be a tendency to think that what is spiritual is not real, but that would be false thinking and an error. The spiritual is as real as the physical, as we know. Here, St. Peter presents the Church as a spiritual temple under construction. Believers are the living stones built up securely on Christ, who is the cornerstone of the entire structure. Christ, the cornerstone, is precious to us. But St. Peter points out that for unbelievers, Christ has been rejected by them, and so he is a stone to stumble over and to bring them down. Then he comes to that favourite expression of mine. He says that we, who are the living stones of this spiritual temple, are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a consecrated nation, a people set apart to sing the praises of God, who has called us out of the darkness into his wonderful light. This is one of the most beautiful and profound expressions of our Christian identity. Through holy baptism and confirmation, every member of the Church has experienced sacramental entry into the body of Christ. Each has been chosen by God, given the royal dignity of our King, consecrated to him, set apart from the darkness of the world, and placed within God's own wonderful light. But here is the part I wish to speak about today. Each of us has become a sharer in the priesthood of Christ. Now, what does this mean, and how does it operate when we consider the ordained priesthood, vocations to which we prayed for last Sunday? Well, first of all, some sort of priesthood has always been God's plan for the people he has chosen as his own down through the centuries. When God first exercised his free choice to establish a people dedicated to him, he called Abraham to leave his homeland of Ur and settle in what we call now Israel. The covenant with Abraham included the priesthood of the father of each family. It was the father who would represent his family before God and offer prayer and sacrifices. Remember how God asked Abraham to sacrifice his own son, Isaac, prefiguring Christ and his sacrifice? But God did not require Abraham to go through with that, because the time would come when God would supply his own son to be the sacrifice that would take away the sins of the world. Until the rebellion of the people of Israel after the exodus from Egypt, when they engaged in idolatry and worshipped the golden calf, the priestly role of the father continued. But in punishment for that grave sin of idolatry, the priesthood was taken away from the role of the father and given over to the Levitical priesthood, under the high priest Aaron. This continued up to the time of Christ's entry into the world. The tribe of Levi supplied the priests who would offer the prayer and sacrifice which was pleasing to God on behalf of all the people and in accordance with God's command. With the death of Christ on the cross, where he became the priest, the victim, and the altar of sacrifice, the Levitical priesthood became redundant. And with the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem in 70 AD, it passed out of existence. So now there is only one priest, Christ, and one priesthood, namely his. Every baptized Catholic now shares in Christ's priesthood and is thus able to minister to the spiritual needs of others and to offer to God sacrifices of love and praise in daily life. This priesthood of all the faithful is different in kind and degree from the ministerial priesthood possessed by bishops and priests. The priesthood, whether ordained or common meaning belonging to all, is not the property of the individual person, but rather it belongs to Christ, and it is a share that he gives to each one. It is not our right, nor is it something he owes to us or must give us. He allows us to participate, to have a part in his secure and lasting priesthood. This is a sign of his generosity to us. But it is also an indication of how much holy baptism changes the one who is baptized. Without baptism, a person can only rely on natural reason to know that God exists. Without the spiritual regeneration and transformation that is baptism, the human person could only offer what is natural towards what is divine, namely natural worship and reverence. It is only through God's revelation of himself and the sharing of his nature with the human person in the sacramental system that Christ has given to us that the human person can enter into a personal relationship with God. Furthermore, the supernatural worship exercised in the Holy Spirit is of a higher level and quality. It is supernatural, above our nature. It is the reverence of adopted children towards a father, not simply of creatures towards the Creator. Even more importantly, God has revealed to us through Christ that this is the worship that pleases him. The priesthood of all the baptized is exercised most clearly at Holy Mass, when we offer the divine victim to God and offer ourselves along with Christ. Every person is required not just to be present, as one would be at a show or football match, to be entertained, but to be part of the liturgical celebration. This means using every exercise of the will, of the mind, and of the heart to be attentive. One practical application of this is for each person to offer himself or herself and each one's life during the offertory along with the bread and the wine. One can also offer anyone else and their situation. Equally, though, each day a baptized Catholic can offer all the circumstances and events of life, not just the extraordinary, but also the ordinary. This is the meaning and power of the highly commended prayer, the morning offering, which I encourage you to say each morning. The ordained ministry of priest and bishop is at the service of the common priesthood of all the faithful. But as we noted before, it is different in quality and degree. Those who are ordained are chosen from among the baptized to stand before God, like the priesthood of old, but not to offer the animal sacrifices, but rather to continue the effective sacrifice of Christ, which he has entrusted to the Church for our salvation and for the redemption of the world. The first reading from the Acts of the Apostles gives us the account of how the aspect of service, that is part of the priesthood, was formalized through ordination in the order of deacons. In reality, the spiritual authority of the ordained and the mission of the laity is at the service of revealed truth and the eternal salvation of all those for whom Jesus Christ sacrificed his life on the cross. Let me conclude with a quote from Saint Peter Chrysologus, the 5th century bishop of Ravenna, who was such an eloquent preacher that he was given the title Chrysologus, or golden-mouthed. In one of his sermons he said this, quote, "Each of us is called to be both a sacrifice to God and his priest. Do not forfeit what divine authority confers on you. Put on the garment of holiness. Gird yourself with the belt of chastity. Let Christ be your helmet. Let the cross on your forehead be your unfailing protection. Your breastplate should be the knowledge of God that he himself has given you. Keep burning continually the sweet-smelling incense of prayer. Take up the sword of the Spirit. Let your heart be an altar. Then with full confidence in God, present your body for sacrifice. God desires not death, but faith. God thirsts not for blood, but for self-surrender. God is appeased not by slaughter, but by the offering of your free will."